Hello, everyone.
It's very nice to see you all. I just would like to take a moment today to acknowledge the efforts of the emergency management and first responders that are working so diligently on the East Coast. Certainly, it's a very devastating landscape on the East Coast, but I am really struck with how orderly the response has been, and that reflects really mightily on the preparedness efforts that the communities have put into place prior to this enormous once-in-a-lifetime event. So I just thought we would start by acknowledging the importance of this work. My objectives today are to share with you the structure, our learned lessons from the structure and function of the Public Health Preparedness Program, and what we've done in Oregon to refocus the preparedness efforts, and why, and what the outcome has been. We want to talk about the benefits and the limitations of our process and share with you some of the lessons that we've learned. First, I'd like to start by just sharing a little bit of information. How many people in the room have more than awareness information about the preparedness program? Okay, a few. So this is probably not a surprise to you. You can see that the funding trends of federal funds flowing to states for preparedness activities, both through CDC and ASPR, have been on the decline in the last several years. In 2006, that slight bump upwards was the pandemic influenza flus that were provided, supplemental funds that were provided, and the really tough spike, of course, was the response to H1N1. But you can see that the financial resources available to preparedness efforts have been on the decline, and that trend is expected to continue. So we knew that we would have just sheer resource allocation issues that we needed to address and really prioritize our work. The second really important driver, especially from the federal level, was some changes in the cooperative agreements from CDC and ASPR. And some of those changes that were driven by the National Security Health Strategy that was issued, I think about in 2010. The Health Security Strategy has two goals. One is to build community resilience, and the second is to strengthen and sustain the health emergency response system. Those informed the changes that the federal programs made in the cooperative agreements and developed the guidance that was based on 15 public health emergency preparedness capabilities. In addition to these original 15 capabilities that were identified, ASPR has identified another 8 healthcare preparedness-specific capabilities for a total of 23. And there are specific performance measures for states and local health departments associated with each of the capabilities. We needed to work through our ability to assess our capabilities and our ability to demonstrate the tasks associated with each of the capabilities, and that helped us structure our strategic planning process, which I'll share with you in a moment. The third sort of emerging concept within public health emergency preparedness is community resiliency. RAND has identified 8 levers that are related to community resiliency, and they're up here. You can see those. And we'll come back to community resiliency and how we are approaching that in Oregon in just a few minutes. So right on the heels of the federal release of the original 15 capabilities, Oregon engaged with the programs to do a joint strategic planning process. We have long been driving towards integrating both of those programs, and Oregon, we're very fortunate that both the emergency preparedness program, the public health program, and the healthcare program reside in the same agency and in the same office. They are both located in the office of the public health director. So we had established a foundation for integrating that work, which is not the case across the nation, and sometimes that work is really disconnected and it can be very difficult to bring it together again. Launched a strategic planning process in collaboration with the Northwest Center for Public Health Practice. Is there anyone here from a practice center? I would just say they were tremendous partners to us in our strategic planning process. And if you are thinking of engaging them, I'd be happy to talk with you about our experience with them. But they were just enormously helpful in collecting data, assessing our capabilities, giving us data back in time, and very timely, short turnaround time, so that we could engage in a community conversation about the data as we were going through and prioritizing. So just a shout out there to the Practice Center. It was a really, really great experience. We engaged a very broad array of partners in our strategic planning process. I could tell you quite a lot about that particular process, but in summary, there's 34 local health departments, 62 hospitals, hundreds of emergency management or emergency medical service agencies that were involved in our or had the opportunity to be involved with our strategic planning process. Emergency management, both at the state and local local levels, engaged in our process, and also at least one county medical association engaged as well. We took each of the capabilities and assessed our ability as a system to carry out the capabilities and be able to demonstrate that. Sometimes we felt we could do it, but we weren't able to actually demonstrate it. We didn't actually have the documentation to be able to say or to definitively show that we could do it, but we had a pretty good sense of some places where we did have the capability but needed to build more of our ability to demonstrate it. Let's see. The other kind of unique part of our strategic planning process, the document that we pulled together, which you can see the Northwest Center did a tremendous job with us around formatting and publishing it, also includes the public health accreditation capabilities that are relevant to preparedness, and I'll come back to that again, but that hadn't been done before, and so that positioned us very well for some of the work that came further downstream. These are some of the highest priorities that came out. I'm sure that's not a surprise to any of you. You might wonder what wasn't identified as a priority. And there were three capabilities that we did not identify as the highest priorities or even any priority. And those would be mask care, responder safety, and fatality management. And two out of those three, the public health division doesn't have primary responsibility for that, or there's another agency that serves in that function. For example, Oregon OSHA is really in the best position to provide guidance around responder safety. And also, mask care is a function of ESF6, the essential service function, ESF6, which is mask care, which we are a supporting contributor to, but not the primary on. And that helped us guide our resource allocation decisions further downstream. We took these priorities and established a zero-based budgeting process to realign our investments and preparedness to line up with the priorities, and that was a really interesting, rather stressful process, as you can imagine. We really hadn't engaged in reflecting on our investment strategies and preparedness since the original preparedness money had flowed into the states, and as many of you might recall, that was a rather chaotic time, and really we were just throwing things up against the wall and had kind of just continued to go with that original investment strategy. It doesn't really seem like an investment strategy in retrospect. It seems more like throwing things up against the wall. Mm-hmm. So we did do this zero-based budgeting experience where people had to pitch what they wanted to invest in and why and what the return on the investment is expected to be. And so that has helped us to reset the entire program. The next thing that we did was to engage in a reflection on what's the most sensible structure for the program to be organized under. If any of you have tried to reorganize or draw a board chart for the preparedness program, you know you need a sort of a three-dimensional model, right? It doesn't really lend itself to wire diagrams very well. This really should be kind of wrapped around the emergency management core that's at the center of preparedness. We really need our scientific experts to help guide our actions. So we did reorganize the program into an emergency management structure with operations, planning, logistics, and finance and administration sections. And that is aligned with the principle, the emergency management principle, that you plan as you respond. And then the scientists wrap around those particular, wrap around the structure and provide the support that we need. The other thing that happened was we decided that we needed to have a more holistic, relevant program name that reflected both of the funding streams and the work of the guidance of both of those funding streams. So the program is now referred to as the Health Security Preparedness and Response Program, and also connects us to that health strategy, health security strategy on the part of the Fed. A couple of the next steps that flow out of our strategic planning process is to reflect and redesign our partner engagement, particularly in the healthcare community, and continue to drive towards a more integrated emergency response system. I'd like to just emphasize that some of the feedback that we got from the HPP community was they wanted to understand more about what the changes in the healthcare preparedness program meant. They wanted to understand more and be educated more on the HPP capabilities. We still have work to do to close the gaps in healthcare preparedness planning. We want to continue to drive forward with this return on investment approach to resource allocation across the state system, not just at the state level, but also at the regional coalition level. We want them to have a similar process where they're identifying what the expected return on investment will be. And also, of course, we always strive to strengthen the information sharing capabilities within healthcare and the emergency response system. That's always a challenge, and I think we see that playing out a little bit on the East Coast today with trying to understand what the situation status is among all of the healthcare providers in the Eastern Seaboard. I think it's someone's very stressed out job today. The second set of steps that we're looking at right now relates to our volunteer management program. We have a remarkably successful volunteer program in Oregon. It's primarily due to having a really inspired and a dedicated manager, Akiko Berkman, who's also been incredibly successful at mobilizing and leveraging the AmeriCorps VISTA program. We have between 12 and 16 AmeriCorps VISTA volunteers in the state. She trains them every year, brings them in. It's a very intensive way to bring organizers into the state, but she is just tremendously effective at turning that energy into volunteers for the program. And we've gone from like 36 volunteers to 700 volunteers in like 3 years or something. Really just remarkably successful. We are talking about because of the success of this program, we really want to think about where's the most strategic place for this to be within the public health division structure. They obviously are experiencing so much success in the preparedness program, and as we move more towards community resiliency, which I'll share in a moment, this may be a resource that makes a lot of sense to apply towards a more resilient sort of model rather than just a capabilities-based model. So that we're still talking about where does that make sense for this particular resource to lay in within the division. As we are approaching, or we have submitted our letter of intent for public health accreditation, and as a part of that, we just recently completed our strategic planning process. This is the graphic that shows that process, or the outcome of that process. You can see that increasing community resilience to communities, or increasing community resilience to emergencies, is one of the six goals to make Oregon one of the healthiest states. The other goal is to make Oregon's public health system a national model of excellence. And there's a couple of goals on that side of the equation that also relate to preparedness. And I would just point out that the public health preparedness programming has a relationship to public health accreditation. I can show you a couple of standards within the accreditation that are specifically related to preparedness, or preparedness could contribute to. And then also maintaining excellence in epidemiology and surveillance. We've made substantial investments of our preparedness funds in that realm. Some of the ways that preparedness has related to accreditation has to do with some of the standards that are required. We think that the hazard and vulnerability analysis that is required within the public health emergency preparedness guidance also relates to the FAB standard to analyze public health data to identify trends in health problems, environmental public health hazards, and factors that affect the public's health. That seems like a natural sort of progression there. There is a specific direct requirement to have a health and medical response plan, and also a requirement to provide evidence that actual performance results and opportunities for improvement and next steps have been documented and reported, and that is an after-action report for both real events and major exercises as well. So we think that there's a real opportunity to use preparedness broadly to contribute to the accreditation process in Oregon. The other piece I think that is relevant to accreditation as we move forward is some of the tools that we use in preparedness around incident management structure, incident action planning, and the situational status and awareness reporting that happens as, you know, a part of regular life within a preparedness program. We recently used these tools as the division, so not the program, but the division underwent a reorganization. I led that effort. I used an incident management team. We developed an action plan and then provided periodic situation reports about where we were having progress and where we were experiencing barriers or problems, and got resources to help resolve whatever those issues were. It was received very, very, very well, actually, and you could just see the anxiety level in the leadership and in the management teams when they realized that we had an actually fairly structured approach that was flexible but also was comprehensive, and people felt like maybe we were able to sort of plan to encompass all of the areas that we thought we would need to take on in doing a really ambitious reorganization, and it came off very well. So that's a tool I offer to you to think about and see if it might have some application to your efforts around organizing for accreditation. It may very well be a tool that could be helpful. And in conclusion, I would just again say that the integration of our two programs has been very beneficial. I think the as a system, as a health and medical response system, the more we can drive to common platforms and a common language and a common approach, the better off we'll be if something very unfortunate or dramatic happens. We do have very big weather events here on the West Coast as well. Pretty much what we are responding to on an annual basis, but of course we are always very concerned about a big earthquake. The joint strategic planning was another way to bring those communities together, build those relationships, prioritize our current capabilities, and identify where we had some gaps, and align our investment strategies with those priorities. So I hope that this has been helpful. I'd be happy to take some questions and are there any questions out there? Can I ask you all a question? Have you thought about using any of your incident management structure or tools to lead any other kind of effort besides a response to emergency? Yeah.
We use it every year to plan our agency barbecue.
Excellent. It's an excellent party planning tool.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Anybody else? Yeah.
We have a Mission of Mercy, which is a dental program. I don't know if anyone else has had it in their state. It's a 2-day free dental clinic serving most thousands of people, and so we use that.
Great. Yeah, the AmeriCorps program uses it to do a homeless medical care and dental program too. It's it really helped to create some organizational structure. Well, thank you very much.